WNYC Studios is supported by W.W. Norton & Company, publishers of The Road to Freedom, Economics and the Good Society, by Nobel Prize-winning economist Joseph E. Stiglitz. The Road to Freedom, essential reading for those committed to the American ideal of an economic and political system that delivers well-being, opportunity, and meaningful freedoms for all. The Road to Freedom, available now wherever books are sold. The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the New Yorker Radio Hour, a co-production of WNYC Studios and the New Yorker.
Welcome to the New Yorker Radio Hour. I'm David Remnick. The MC Tariq Trotter, who's known in music as Black Thought, is considered by many to be one of the best rappers of all time. And you probably know his work with The Roots, the long-running hip-hop collective that's been the house band for Jimmy Fallon for more than a decade.
Please welcome, from the legendary Roots crew, a multiple Grammy Award winner, Tariq Trotter, a.k.a. Black Thought.
Oh, yeah, yes. Team Metaphor in the house. Thank you so much. I love having you on this side, man.
Yeah, man, me too. You know, it's cool. One step closer to behind the desk.
Outside of his long career with The Roots, Trotter has also worked as an actor. Lately, he's been performing comedy, too, and he's just made his theatrical debut in Black No More.
I heard a doctor preaching about a science that could turn black white without the bleaching.
What doctor? What are you thinking? That hooch must have you sinking into some insane...
Trotter wrote most of the music and lyrics, and the book is by John Ridley. The show is based on a satirical novel of the Harlem Renaissance that dates from 1931. Trotter stars as a doctor who invents a treatment to make black people look white.
Someone said killing. No lives are at risk. Need I remind you how many years for which I've been in practice before this scientific breakthrough? Please allow me to reshape and awake you. Allow me to take and remake you. Go ahead. Thank you. I'll charge a mere half yard for a tone so pure you'll be black no more and back for an encore.
And if not, you'll be in a...
Staff writer Jelani Cobb spoke with Tariq Trotter in the lobby of the theater just before rehearsal.
How do you think of yourself, you know, in the rare event that you might have to go someplace and people don't know who you are? How do you introduce yourself?
I always introduce myself as Tariq, mm-hmm. You know, that's all. I think it's weird, you know, hi, I'm Black Thought. I think it's, I mean, you know, people make choices and it's cool if you go by your moniker or whatever. But yeah, for me, I've always sort of separated church and state in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Black Thought. I never take a shot. I make the beginning box track a damn.
So how did the name Black Thought, which is, I think, one of the more indelible in hip hop, how did that name come about?
Originally, I had a bunch of nicknames that have to do with, you know, just my skin tone, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Would hurt my feelings when I was a young person, some not so much. You know, when I lived in UK for a while, my friends referred to me as a blacker, You know, when I was a little guy in South Philly, sometimes I ran with some Puerto Rican kids, and they would call me Black Boy Roy. You know, but yeah, there was always like, you know, just a blackness associated with how I referred to myself. I grew up as a visual artist, painting, and you know, I went to the high school for creative and performing arts, which is where the roots began. And just as a visual artist there, sometimes, you know, using my palette, trying to come up with different shades or different dark tones of black or something close to blackness, I would have to use almost every color in the palette.
I rip the vocal back, flip, yo, the kid is a bad bro. I could drip it, hip it, then dip into Calypso. Adios, amigo, which means I got Stagio. Makes you wonder about my number, guess my address on my P.O. Here's a hint, I'm from Villa with the double, not the Rio.
And that, you know, sort of, you know, it resonated with me as one of the parallels of my style. You know, definitely at the time, too, I was sort of throwing everything against the wall to see what stuck. And I would do, you know, dance hall stuff, and I would sing a little bit. And I would do one song where I sound more like Chuck D, or, you know, someone who would be associated with Public Enemy. And then the next song would be like more, you know, Juice Crew. You know what I mean? So I just had all these different, you know, tones of style.
You mentioned that you started out as a visual artist, and you know, you did sculpture, you did painting. And how did rapping come to be the preeminent forum for your art?
For me, I was born in 1973 in October, arguably 2 months after hip hop was born. So we grew up as one. That was sort of all I knew, and everyone that I knew. I come from an era where, you know, we embraced the culture in its entirety. So I, you know, was a rapper, I was a b-boy, I was a graffiti artist, I was, you know, a DJ, I was a human beatbox, you know, everything that came with it was a part of my life. But you know, throughout, you know, I was always a visual artist because that's what my mother had sort of, you know, steered me towards. You know, she sent me to art school, and, you know, whenever she could afford, you know, art classes on a Saturday, or there was an art camp that was associated with the city of Philadelphia that you could do during the summer, you know, so just to keep me from sitting idly by 11 or 12 in the afternoon, when some of my other friends would be just waking up and getting outside for the day, I would be coming back from, you know, having, you know, taking art classes.
One of the things I think that stands out about your work and your lyricism in particular is just how many literary references and allusions there are. You know, it's almost like finding your way through a card catalog. And the names of albums, you know, Things Fall Apart, which is also the title of a novel by Chinua Achebe, and The Tipping Point, which is also a book by, you know, my colleague Malcolm Gladwell. On Streams of Thought, Volume 1, you have a song titled Dostoevsky.
Story written without a ghost writer, the author before me. This is crime and punishment. I'm the judge and the jury. Listen, Dostoevsky.
And so I wondered how that got started, and, you know, what role literature has played in influencing your art.
I feel like the arts has always come to me more naturally. And, you know, once I realized that something that I could say in a song might inspire someone else to, you know, want to do more research, or, you know, want to sort of dig beyond that song to get a better understanding of, you know, what made me make that reference, then it became like a benchmark, you know what I mean? I think Killer Priest from Wu-Tang Clan once said that too much knowledge could break up the rhyme, which is very true. You know, it's easy to to come off as preachy or teachy, mm-hmm. and you know, to have the listener begin to shut down.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a delicate balance. Yeah.
That's Tariq Trotter, also known as Black Thought, speaking with Jelani Cobb. More in a moment.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. WNYC Studios is supported by W.W. Norton & Company, publishers of The Road to Freedom, Economics and the Good Society, by Nobel Prize-winning economist Joseph E. Stiglitz. The Road to Freedom, essential reading for those committed to the American ideal of an economic and political system that delivers well-being, opportunity, and meaningful freedoms for all. The Road to Freedom, available now wherever books are sold.
Hi, I'm Roz Chast from The New Yorker. The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by NetSuite. Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on delivering your product or service, the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified platform. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/New Yorker. netsuite.com/New Yorker.
So your last studio album with The Roots was 2014. Is there anything in the works with you all now?
Yeah, you know, we've been working on the new Roots album since then.
Mm.
And I feel like we could have put out, you know, a few at this point, just because of the way, you know, we work. We sort of overindulge in the studio and like in the process. And I've come to appreciate just the feeling, the power that lies within having the content sort of done and then doing some more. You know what I mean? So I never want to be, you know, presented with, okay, it's time to do an album or it's time to work on this thing. And now I have to figure out what I'm going to do. So once I got ahead of the curve a little bit, I've been really conscious to sort of stay there. So I got, you know, like my next 8 albums are in my phone right now. But and then, you know, the Roots album, because we're a collective, once we're all, really once Questlove and I agree that the album is done, then it's done. But you know, it could be done tomorrow if we needed to be.
In 2017, the end of 2017, you dropped a 10-minute freestyle on Funkmaster Flex's show, which people thought was of it as a kind of astounding example of freestyle rapping. Can you tell me about how that came about?
It was, I think, on a Thursday, if I'm not mistaken. Whatever day it was, we had done two Tonight shows. So I was pretty tired. It was cold. It was the dead of winter. So I hit Flex up and told him I was going to come through.
I'm sorry for your loss. There's somebody dead in the car, and it's probably one of yours. The writing all across the window in the walls. Whether it was true or false, we shouldn't have got involved. Remember, we walked past the teacher, take the chalk and laugh. We wrote punishments. I will not talk in class. Now it's pistols punishing people for talking fast. And all these innocent bystanders is hauling ass. I hate to say I told y'all, but I told y'all things fall apart when the center too weak to hold y'all. I'm just collecting what you owe to my old John. You about to get swooped down.
Did reaction surprise you?
I was a little surprised by the reaction because I didn't do anything differently than I've always done. You know, I didn't say, hey, I'm going to rap for 9 or 10 minutes and I'm going to say all these things. I just went to sort of do what I do. And it took place during a time where what it is that I do and what I grew up doing was far less common, and you know, just felt more alien, and reminded people, oh shit, like this is you know how you really do it. Yeah.
So in terms of performance, is it different? I mean, you have been on a stage for the majority of your life at this point. Is it different performing in a musical context than it is in a theatrical context? You know, what's it like? What has it been like thus far going up on stage and doing the play?
It's very different when I'm rapping at a rap show, or, you know, if I'm at, I don't know, if I'm performing with an orchestra, if I'm performing at, you know, Lincoln Center, Carnegie Hall. It's always about the movement. I'm, you know, speaking a lot more with my hands, with my body. I'm moving around. I'm making eye contact with a lot of lots of the folks in the audience. And here, at least with Black No More, it's more about a stillness, you know, so it's not to distract, not to take away from, you know, what's being said. I've had to learn to just be more still and to engage with the audience in a different way. But, you know, when you get a laugh or a gasp or an applause, it works in the same way that it does, or that it would on stage doing comedy, or on stage, you know, with the Roots.
Because you do comedy also.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, I mean, Broccoli Rob, it's like, it's the only broccoli that's bitter for no reason. It's like, come on, man, way to bring the room down, Rob. I mean, no, like, think about it. All the other broccoli is good, right? Like the little baby broccolini, little organic broccolini. It tastes, it's almost sweet. All the cousins, cauliflower, they're having a moment right now. They're good.
They are having a moment right
even,
now.
Even the OG broccoli with the afro. It's good, but then Rob is just like bitter for no reason. I don't like it. You can tell whenever all the broccoli family gets together, they're like, if Rob calls, I'm not here.
You're up there as a comedian, you're sort of on your own. It's just you and your ideas and a microphone and, you know, no light show and no band. And, you know, so it's something that I began to, you know, just make myself more comfortable with being vulnerable in that way on stage. You know what I'm saying? I've spent most of my career, you know, wearing sunglasses and with my hat pulled down low, and, you know, just with very many layers of almost defense, you know, after having done this for over 30 years, it's like, what else can I do? You know, how can I become better? How can I become a better storyteller, a better performer? And I arrived at just to become more personal, more personal, more personable. You know, it's been, you know, definitely, you know, a cathartic sort of exercise for me.
Can you tell me, how did your involvement with Black No More come about?
My involvement with Black No More came about maybe 6 or 7 years ago now, when it was, you know, an opportunity was presented to, you know, to me, well, really to the Roots as a collective, to create some music that would, you know, potentially be associated with the theatrical interpretation of the book Black No More. And you know, John Ridley, who I think had been thinking about this project for quite some time, he clicked up with Scott Elliott and decided, you know, that it might be a cool idea to try and, you know, step into the realm of theater. John Ridley is a TV film person. That's his background. And Scott Elliott, you know, had more experience in the realm of theater. And the Roots, you know, we make music. So it was definitely, it made sense as a trifecta. So, yeah, it wound up, you know, as one of those projects that just landed in my lap because I was able to sort of carve out enough time to do it.
Ah, yes, Harlem, still many a river left to cross. If I offered to build you a bridge to safety, would that be such a loss? If I freed you of those limits, academics knows no gimmicks. The irons and chains you're in, it all could change in a New York minute.
All is just a place, it's the place to be.
You know, over time, my focus became almost rapping as little as possible. You know, I wanted this to be more above and beyond folks' expectations. You know, oh wow, Black Thought from the Roots, he's done this musical. I'm sure it's going to be, you know, super lyrical, and you know what I mean, everyone's going to be rapping their ass off. But when you come in, and you know, then you realize that you know, I've written love songs and duets and, you know, power ballads and, you know, country western ditties and mm-hmm. You know, stuff that's, you know, more associated with classical musical theater. Mm-hmm. I think it's just a pleasant surprise. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh wow, it speaks to my talents as a force to be reckoned with mm-hmm. in a different way.
It's the range of creative work.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have a broader question, which is, you know, that hip hop in particular, but entertainment in general is punishing. It's not known for giving people opportunities for reinvention. You know, longevity is not a given. And so I wonder what it means to you to be connected to an art form from childhood and to now have reached the age that you've reached and to still be thriving, to still be performing, to still be able to break new creative ground in the work that you're doing.
It's a blessing for me. It's something that I definitely don't take, you know, for granted. And I'm just very grateful. Those same you know, limitations, I mean, they go beyond hip hop. Those limitations, you know, in that sort of limited expectation of that limited range of expectation is placed on us as a people. You know what I mean? You know, as a culture, as, you know, just a Black man, as a Black person. And when I was a young person, lots of my friends and family didn't make it, you know, to the age of 20. Mm. You know, let alone 30 or 40 or 50.
Mm-hmm.
It was something that I just couldn't foresee. So, yeah, I feel like I'm in an anomaly and, you know, almost an exception in many ways that, you know, that I've made it as far, you know, as I have. But that said, I still feel like there's so very far to go. There's so, you know, there's still many rivers to cross. I've never felt as though, I've arrived. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But, you know, that said, I'm still very thankful to be wherever it is that I am.
The rapper Tariq Trotter, also known as Black Thought. He spoke with Jelani Cobb, staff writer at The New Yorker. Black No More is in previews, and it opens this month. I'm David Remnick. That's our program for today. Hope you enjoyed the show, and see you next time.
God bless Harlem.
This is Harlem.
This is
Harlem.
This is Harlem.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is a co-production of WNYC Studios and The New Yorker. Our theme music was composed and performed by Merrill Garbus of Tune Yards, with additional music by Alexis Quadrado. The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported in part by the Chirina Endowment Fund.